For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Psalm 27:5. Dwelling in the house, meditating in the temple, concealed in the tabernacle, hidden in the tent. All that helps replace fear with confidence. That sounds good to me, but what does he mean in all this? In David's day, the imagery of the Psalms was such that being in a dwelling place meant being surrounded by protection. In our terms, it would mean conscious, continuous fellowship with the living Lord in the midst of his people. One man has called it practicing the presence of God. David was saying, "When I walk out of this cave, not knowing where the spears are coming from, I know that in the tent, in the tabernacle, in the house, in the temple, surrounded by your protection, I am safe. That's one thing I ask, Lord, that nothing break our relationship." When we are intimidated, when we lack confidence, we are invariably more conscious of the person attacking us than we are of the Lord. When we step into a scene that is intimidating to us, we must consciously see ourselves in the tent, meditating in the tabernacle, beholding the beauty of the Lord, and saying to him, "Right now, God, I don't have anything I can draw upon. I'm all yours." At this point, David began to pray. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me." It's an imperative, like a command. "When thou didst say, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to thee, 'Thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." Psalm 27, verses 7 through 9. This is not a half-hearted petition. David meant every word of it. We tend to fiddle around with prayer. God says, "I promise you my presence. Link yourself to me, count on me, and I'll get you through this threatening situation." And we say something cold and formal like, "All right, Lord, if perchance you will, please lead, guide, and direct me." Hey, that's not the kind of prayer God wants. "Lord, right now, I take you at your word. I cannot go into this situation without you. I say to you, answer me, provide my need, give me the gutsy strength I need this very moment." Sometimes in the car, as I'm driving to a situation that will be extremely threatening, not knowing what it will hold for me, I pray out loud. People on the street look at me very strangely. I really don't care too much what they're thinking. They're not going to face that situation. I am. Staying balanced. Perhaps you are thinking, "It sounds to me like David, and Swindoll, is getting a little fanatical." I don't think so. Look what he says in Psalm 27, verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes." Teach me, Lord, and lead me in a balanced fashion because I have a lot of enemies. Keep me balanced, level me out. Now look at 27:13. It's so true. "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That is where I'm at right now. "I could never have walked out to face what I had to face, Lord, without you there to help me. Despair would have defeated me. I would have cracked up." Releasing fear's fierce grip. Some time ago, Cynthia and I spent a wonderful evening with Ruth Harms Calkins and her husband Raleigh. Ruth has written, "Tell me again, Lord, I forget, Lord, you love to say yes," and other excellent works worth reading. Mrs. Calkins is a godly woman, one I deeply admire. She's learned, literally in a bed of affliction, what it is to trust God. At the age of 19, she met Raleigh, and they planned to be married soon. But she developed a persistent cough, and they found a cavity in her lung, which, in those days, could be treated only through an intense period of hospitalization. So she left for a sanatorium, where she was on her back for 2 years. In all the trauma that accompanied this setback, her love for her fiancé grew. During her stay in the hospital, she began to record her thoughts in prayer. When the average person would have said, "There's no way, I despair," she believed. She presented these thoughts to God and kept them in a journal. Finally, she was released from the hospital, and she and Raleigh were married. Through a chain of events, they were led into a Christian ministry. Just about the time they were thinking of beginning their family, Ruth suffered another coughing spell. Clammy fingers of fear began to wrap themselves around her. Tests were made, and a cavity was found on the other lung. She faced the possibility of another prolonged hospitalization. The fierce grip of panic began to squeeze her tightly, and she fell apart before God. After leaving a note for Raleigh along with the doctor's report, Ruth took a long walk. Her husband read it and immediately drove out to the place where she was walking, along a railroad track.